listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Say it, say it, say it again. Say what you said. Say, call it again. No, 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 not that. I'm talking about what? The stadium. Say what you said about the stadium.
Good riddance. Let it burn.
No, y'all.
Let it burn.
What, you just use
construction equipment.
Yeah, I don't know if you got to set the thing on fire. Plus, you got four more years you got to play in the thing.
It is a it is just a haunted house at this point. It's been awful.
I love haunted houses.
It's been awful.
Now we've got an idea for what to do with the structure.
Oh, my gosh.
Knock it into Lake Erie and shove it to Canada.
You did the other one in Lake Erie.
Let them worry about it.
It's not Canada's problem. It's our problem. Now, come on. You make another reef. Got one of those.
You know what's better than one reef?
Two reefs.
Two reefs.
216-474-0092. Do you agree with Jason? I was shocked at how flippant you were. That you just called the thing an eyesore.
What good memories
that you said
are there?
Good riddance. I want to ask you, before I get to these calls, did you ever sit in the seats as a fan?
Yes.
I don't believe you at all.
Oh, okay.
You're old. I don't believe you. I think you always sat in there in the press box and with your writers and your cynicism and everything.
No.
You never had to have a good time. You never got to have a good time at a Browns game. In the 500s,
I went to,
with your buddies. You never did that.
No, yes, I did. In fact, when Ohio State played at USC, I was covering Ohio State. I took a red eye home after the game so I could go with friends. She's my wife now. It was my girlfriend at the time.
Nice.
And we went to Brown Steelers game together. And I took my son to his first Browns game, the Saints game that was 148 below zero on Christmas Eve a couple years
Browns
ago.
Game.
That was his first Browns game. I took him to that.
Hey, you got and you still call it say good riddance?
Yes.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's a horrible stadium.
I'm excited about the future.
Horrible memories.
I'm excited about the future. Some of the memories toughen you up.
Hey,
there's men out there who go, you know what? I'm more ready to take on other things in my life by some of the things that I've seen in that stadium.
That,
I didn't think Joe Flacco was going to do what he did with the Jets, and I sat there in stunned silence, and they're sitting there going, you know what? Got me ready for some things, man.
Yeah, what Baker did against the Jets was awesome. Too bad it ended a 416-game losing streak.
It's an awesome night. It's a hell of a night.
Get out of here.
It's a hell of a night.
They always have the refrigerators.
That old stadium.
I still have one. Thank you very much.
That old stadium was a dump before this one, but man, were there good memories in
there. There were great memories in the old one.
So
the old one was built at a different time for different reasons and all that other stuff.
This thing has been just sterile from the start. They rushed its construction. They had to hurry up and get it up.
It's not the poor stadium's fault.
It's been nothing but a calamity.
I've had a lot of good memories in that stadium. I went with my buddy's late dad to a Browns-Ravens game. Deion Sanders' last game in the NFL. One of my all-time favorite players, Deion Sanders.
Come on, Ken, take your calls. All these calls you wanted, take your calls.
Okay, John in Cleveland. Hello, John.
Yeah, I agree with Jason 100%.
That
stadium is a blight on the NFL in this city. There are no good memories there. It's a waste pit. The only people who enjoyed that stadium are opposing teams' fans.
Yep.
Namely,
I'm not an opposing team's fan, John. Like I enjoyed the stadium.
You know who loved that stadium? Ben Roethlisberger loved that stadium.
Yeah, of course, Ken, you enjoyed the Browns stadium. You enjoy everything they do. You enjoyed the 4-0 preseason start, too.
Did. It was a fun time, John. I did do that. It's not everything. I don't enjoy everything that they do, John. Thank you for the call. Demos and Shaker, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Demos. Do you agree?
Hello.
Do you agree with Jason? Do you say good riddance?
Not at all, because the Browns experience with me up in section 320, Theon, all my buddies that we sit with, that helped me endure horrible football. So while I understand what he's saying there, it tells me that maybe he's a little, antisocial or something.
Because, lost touch.
Yes, because maybe. I mean, now that he's been published in the New York Times and all that, who knows?
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
What does that got to do with the price of fish?
You just think you're better than everybody. You think you're better than all the callers. You think you're better than all the listeners.
That is absolutely not true.
Okay.
Listen, here's the thing, though.
Who's got the one with the indoor pool here? Oh, okay, that's right.
Not me.
That's it. There you go, Kenny. Yeah. Sorry, touche. But here's the deal here. Think about, I want to talk a little bit also about Sanders and Kenny Pickett.
Hold on. One thing at a time. We will have plenty of time to get into the Kenny Pickett stuff. It's a long summer, okay?
The stadium stuff. That was going to be my point.
Okay, I'll tell you this, Demos. I knew where you were going to go even before I took the call. Like, Demos is the type of guy. Yeah. Well, no, because you're the type of guy I talk about. And this is the thing. Like, I've met Demos in person. He's a good guy. He's argumentative, and thank you for the call, Demos, but he's a good guy. And there are guys who sat there, and I bring up the 537 boys. I bring them up all the time. But there are other fans that, you know what, like, hey, you know, my buddy's dad, Mark, he was a big Browns fan. Now Mark ain't here no more, and yeah, this thing has sucked. I'm going to miss Mark. And there's memories that are tied to it. Even memories through bad things get tied to it. It's a good time. I remember the stadium when they beat New Orleans in week two for obviously specific reasons if you listen to the show for any period of time there. I always remember that. And then that son that was conceived that day, I remember taking him to his first Browns game against the Arizona Cardinals there. So it all comes full circle.
I remember Dwayne Rudd throwing his helmet. I remember all the beer bottles landing on the field.
And I will sit there on the stadium's last day and I will go, man, there has been some wild bleep that has happened out here on this field. And I may not say that, I'm going to miss it all and all that other stuff, but I think that there's a certain respect for what we've all sat through, and that stadium is a representation of all of us being together and sitting through all this together.
Not one playoff game. Not one.
Fair.
In 30 years, not one friggin' playoff game.
Good riddance. That's goodbye. The Browns' fault. That's not the fans' fault.
I'm just telling you how I feel about the stadium.
That's not even the stadium's fault. And all you guys say it's cursed, you're really going to put it against somebody to not go over there at Brick Park right now and put some hex on that land right now? Considering all the tough talking that's going on, Chris Ronan's out there doing God knows what right now. Come on.
Reckless speculation.
Come on, keep taking your calls. Come on.
I don't know if he knows how to do that, but we'll find out. Rocky on the road. You're next up on the fan.
Rocky's not on the road.
That's what it says. He's driving.
I'm in a car. Yeah, I'm driving to work.
He's driving. Marshmallow Lane.
If I had a wish and could push the detonator to blow that stadium up.
Attaboy.
It is a dump.
Yes.
It was built on the cheap. The sight lines, if you're on the lower level, you can't even see the hash mark.
Yep.
And you're looking at the jumbotron half the time. I think that anyone from my era, I'm a lot older than you, Ken. I'm almost 60. I think that.
Oh, you sound really young. I got to tell you.
Yeah, you do.
You sound great, Rocky.
Well, thank you. But I think that anybody from my era that got to sit through the Brian Sipe era, the Bernie Kosar era, I don't think any of my friends, any of my former Browns, my father was a coach. I went to a lot of games. We had season tickets. Would not want to blow that stadium up. It was just, it's just nothing but bad memories. It's horrific. I can't wait till they tear it down.
You know what? It's up to them for them to create good memories in the new stadium, Rocky, because you could just sit there and have the same terrible memories in 30 years at the new stadium. I hope it isn't that way. Think of the memories you have together, everybody. Together.
Watching your team
in
lose.
The stands. In 2020. When Tone is not a crier. I'm a way more emotional person than him. When we cried, which you can say is pathetic. I don't care. You will because you're nasty and you're heartless.
Oh, jeez.
When we got emotional and wept on the air over them making the playoffs, over the Browns making the playoffs.
Oh, I didn't expect to have this reaction. Oh, it kind of got me a little emotional here. I swear to God.
Stop it.
I don't know. Tone,
Stop it.
Is that real?
That is very real. That's 100% real.
What's wrong with
you? When they made the play, Tone did it too. Ask Owen, ask Kid. It wasn't over the team.
It was over the stadium.
It was over the fans.
It was over that beautiful stadium.
It was over the fans. The stadium is a place where those fans have gathered for generations. That's what it's about. It's about the fans. And there's something there that
and the fans are telling you it's
I respect. A hole. I probably won't miss it because I'll have a great big brand new facility, and that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be expensive, but it's going to be fun.
Those Kenny Chesney concerts were great.
I wouldn't have gone to see Kenny Chesney.
at SummerSlam last summer. That's a memory I hold near and dear.
You want to talk about prices. Listen, there's a lot of great things that have happened there. I just don't think you guys are seeing the forest for the trees here. You guys are mad over the things the Browns did on the field. I'm asking you to remember what happened in the stands with all you guys.
Oh, when everyone was fighting and throwing up on each other.
No one was fighting and throwing up on me. Times.
They had that possum in there, that one.
Remember the guy who got the possum? Remember when ain't getting no possum in the new stadium.
Remember when they put the banners in the wrong order? That was great.
That was such a great memory.
Brandon Whedon core memory. Under that flag.
Yeah, you know what? Trapped under the flag.
And those are fun core memories. Memory those are fun memories. We laugh about them now. It was silly and dumb, and we laugh about them now. Dwayne Rowe throwing the helmet.
Remember when Miles throwing the smashed helmet. Mason Rudolph over that?
Miles smashing Mason Rudolph.
Carmen policy, those bottles don't pack a wallop. Oh, they're good times.
Remember when Mike Holmgren told you to you guys don't ask him for playoffs?
You guys are making my case for me. You're making my case for me.
No, we're not. We're telling you why it's so horrible.
It's about each other. You'll just if the Browns don't get it, you can't just tell me you're just there to watch the Browns, and if the Browns win, you'll be happy, and if the Browns lose, you will be upset, and there's nothing else that's good that happens in the stadium.
Remember when they were almost about to make the playoffs in 2014, they couldn't score against the Colts?
All right, stay here. 216-474-0092. That was one of my lowest moments on the air. I came in the next day, and I think I was like holding my eye, and I was screaming about Mike. Oh, God, was it a bad day. 216-474-0092. Do you agree with Jason? Do you say good riddance to the old stadium, which is still currently the stadium?
We'll still play in for the next four seasons.
Ken Carmen, Jason Lloyd.
The countdown is on. We can set it on fire and let it burn.
We should have Mike Dickin do the game for the last game. Where's the guy who has the handsaw? Where are the hacksaw? Where's the guy who has it? Bring him back in here. We got some things we got to dislodge.
Slade Ciccone's. What? Slade's going to be on the show. Slade's on the show. And Baskin isn't here.
I don't even have words.
I know.
I'm heartbroken for him. That's his dude.
I'm heartbroken for Slade.
He
was going to have Andy drooling all over him.
And he might have, a restraining order may have been right around the corner. Yeah,
would have gotten sloppy. So Slade's coming up at noon. I think, again, I've always liked the idea of a dome stadium in Northeast Ohio. I know everybody doesn't agree. Some people like it, some people don't. That's the way life works. Andy and I always wanted a retractable dome because football in September? Come on, man. That's beautiful. That's beautiful downtown.
Football in October. Beautiful.
Put on a winter coat, go down in early November. If the sun's out, it's a beautiful day. Go play football.
Beautiful.
Football outside in December, unless you have weird weather, is just awful.
Not good.
I'm sorry. It's just not good. And there's so much more that you're going to be able to do. And so that's really good. I'm disappointed that the city of Cleveland and the Haslams couldn't come to something that worked. With everything else that the Haslams want to do out there, maybe they just didn't want to put all that in downtown Cleveland and didn't think it would be a financial win for them. And that part of it, they're putting their own money into, as they are with a great deal of the stadium as well. So, I mean, they've got a lot of skin in this game, a lot. And all of the auxiliary stuff, they're paying for. That's being paid for. And so that, good for them, hopefully good for our community. And I would think good for Brook Park. We've had the mayor of Brook Park on the show before, Ed Orcutt. And Ed, when he was on the show, was extremely sensible and sounded like a guy who was trying to do something that would be good for his community. Well, guess what he was elected to do? Do things that are good for
him. My guess would be extremely sensible and do things that are good for his community.
As he said, Andy asked him, hey, when Ford left, what happened? And I forget the number. I want to say 14,000 or something like that. 14,000 jobs Brook Park lost when Ford closed a good portion of their facilities out there. Well, the mayor's got to get stuff out there. It's his job. And they have. And he put out a statement after the General Assembly approved the $600 million in funding and said some really good things. He said, I'm thrilled to, and I'll give you a couple of parts of it. He said, I'm thrilled to see the state recognize the team's importance to our identity and our community, or our economy, which is really critical. Transformational investment that will ripple across Northeast Ohio, creating jobs, boosting tourism, and reinforcing our region's attractiveness. That's right on the money.
Yeah.
That's right on the money. And it's bigger than just Cleveland, because it is our entire region's attractiveness. It really is.
The entire state's attractiveness.
It gives our region a boost. It will do that more than renovating the old stadium would. And
the state of Ohio does not have an indoor facility that will hold over 50,000 people. Now it will.
Now it will. The state of Ohio.
The state of Ohio, which is how the state is looking at this.
The closest dome facility has to be Detroit. Is it not? Right now?
Yes.
Ford Field? I think it would have to be.
Yes.
Or because Lucas Oil is further away than that in Indianapolis.
Yes.
So it's got to be Detroit. This, I think, is a well-crafted thought. Mayor Ed Orcutt, Brook Park, his statement after the General Assembly approval. He said, this is more than just a stadium. We're creating a community where people can live, work, visit, and enjoy all year round. Brook Park, and pay attention here. Brook Park is committed to being a true partner with the Haslam Sports Group in creating a framework for a bold, multi-use investment. Was the city of Cleveland a true partner? Yeah, for a while, but yeah. It always just seemed like it was filled with animosity and a lack of trust. And that does not seem to be the case here.
It got ugly. It was a really ugly situation, and it boiled over the minute that lease came within 5 years of being done. It got really ugly between the city, the county, and the Browns. And this seems like a solution. I don't know. We could argue what's best, what isn't best, but this seems like a solution that is pointing our state, frankly, in a more progressive direction. Mm-hmm. Of these are the different things we can do. We can use this thing a lot of different ways. It's not just going to be for football. It's not going to be, oh, we didn't get a Super Bowl, therefore it's a failure. Stop. That's not all this thing is for.
And that's a one-time event.
That's a one-off event. So, now, granted, a one-off event that got New Orleans $1 billion.
Big deal.
But not that. This is going to be used for a lot of different things. I have a feeling you're going to see the car show find its way in here. I have a feeling you're going to see a lot of trade shows find their way in here. I got a feeling you're going to see national trading card shows, sports card shows. That's going to find their way in there. Dan, there's a lot of different ways to use this thing.
There's been talk that the NFL Combine is going to be a rotational event.
Indy is using theirs for Olympic time trials for swimming and diving.
They put a pool in there.
Yeah. Think of that. You could do that here for different things. You could do that here for Big Ten championships. You could do that here for anything else that we could think of.
Indy's always been at the forefront of doing stuff like this. And our folks at the Greater Cleveland Sports Commission are outstanding.
They are awesome.
Man, turn them loose with this opportunity. Look out.
Right.
I think it could be a really big deal.
I agree with you really completely. And I will add in one extra thing, which is, look, if you are against this and you don't like the idea that public funds are being used to build the stadium,
we get it.
I understand it. The best, or if you're sitting here screaming, why aren't we using these unclaimed funds for things such as schools and roads and cops and firefighters and, you know, everything else, public servants that actually can help out and all that kind of stuff. The best advice that I could give you then is to go to the unclaimed funds website. It's really easy to find. Type your name in there, put your address or your zip code in there, and claim what is yours. And take that in, get your check sent to you by the government themselves, and either turn around and donate it to where you think it is best used, or use it to buy supplies to help out that area. That is the best thing that I could say, because this is happening.
Or put it in your own checking account, and that way you're not contributing.
Or put it in your own checking account. Right. Go check for your unclaimed funds.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Hudson in Cleveland. Hey, Hudson, we're moving on, you got 30 seconds.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, this is Hudson from Cleveland. I'm a little
disturbed that you guys aren't giving Cleveland more props. Give Shanley, Nev Chandler, some of the old-time Jim Mueller, some of the old-time Cleveland Browns sportscasters would balk at this idea of this new stadium. It's going to disenfranchise Cleveland, and it caters to the majority community.
I worked with Gibb. I worked with Jim.
Yes.
I knew Nev well. I would disagree with you, Hudson. I would disagree with you on that thought. I know those guys. I knew those guys. Gentlemen, forward thinkers. I think they would disagree with you on that. My own personal thought. Slade Ciccone, pitcher for the Guardians, joining us next on Baskin and Phelps without Andy here to drool all over him. Slade's next.
This is the Ken Carmen effect, like the lemon pepper Lou of taking
you
shots
just say
at
so
other people.
Many things and take so many shots that it just, oh, it is what it is.
People just kind of give up. They're like, which one? I don't know. Do we have tape of it? Just bleep it.
I'm going to respond. Nothing really. Dash, because I always do dashes, said you took our comments in the morning out of context.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean.
And then defended it.
And that you do that constantly.
Hold on, we don't have to put that part in.
Okay, all right.
And then defended it.
Right,
and then I'll put dash dash 440 segment if you want to hear for yourself.
The double dash I don't like. If you want to be a dash person, that's fine. The double dash.
Well, I mean, it just
it's a little insistent.
Would you want me to do like a return thing? All right, I'll do a return.
Or you just do a period.
Period is so strong these days. Who uses periods anymore in text message?
Americans?
No.
World?
No. No, period means like you're mad at people. If you put a period, if you say something like, if you said, I went to the grocery store, period, people look at that like you're mad.
Is that, when you say people, are you referring to yourself?
No, like the general population looks at periods as in a completely different way than what you're presenting right now.
I think we're talking
Mac,
exclamation
points. Mac, can you defend
points.
Me here for a second?
I mean, I was going to say, if it's like just an okay period and that's all I get back, yeah, I'm going to assume that you're mad at me. But like
it's
otherwise.
Like a full sentence? It's just a period. You just ended the sentence.
Yeah, I if it's a full sentence, I don't think that somebody's mad at you.
You do question marks. You do exclamation points. If you put a period at the end of a sentence, it signifies something deeper than what it just does if you're doing a regular grammatical sentence.
I got
from my wife, come home now. Period. Much different. Then come home now, period.
Three,
come home now, exclamation
three
point.
Three words.
Come home now, question mark.
Three words
way
is very
different.
Close to one word. If it's a full sentence, hey, honey, can you come home now, period, is not the same thing as come home now, period.
You were asking a question there. Hey, honey, can you come home now would be a period, or would be a question mark, excuse me.
Okay, I need you to come home now, honey, period.
Oh, I got the period at the end of that?
Too.
That means she is big mad if I got a period at the end.
So you said you don't fight.
We don't.
We don't. You just take
she
it.
She actually doesn't really. I would never get that text. If I got that text, I would be like, oh no, I messed up. But no, I don't get those texts. But if I did, that's what I would think.
Mm. Oh, and by the way, apparently Ken sang back. It was Jason who heard it. And look at that. Get to the bottom of this. Trust tree with a nest on the station.
Wanted to hammer us at 5:56 a.m. That means he wanted to do it before we got on the air? Listen, there was no shots taken at Jason at all. Not in the slightest bit.
Probably should have, though.
Now that we're being roped into
information.
It. Now that we're being roped into it.
And I'm surprised you remembered to take those shots later in the show.
Pew, 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 pew. Now I'm worried he's actually, not worried is the wrong term here. Now I think he actually wants to talk about our like basketball take instead of our drive-by on Ken.
I'm cool with either. You know me.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
Now, that being said, I put the Twitter poll out there before the show today.
He just tossed his producer under the bus, so here we go.
Okay, now, I can confirm that is a verified Ken Carmen text. You know it. Like, you know your wife is apparently pissed at you if she ends any text with a period. If Ken ends any exchange with a shot at Mitch, you're good to go. He has not. There's nobody that's hacked his phone. Now that being said, we started the show. Before the show, I threw out the tweet there. Nick Wilson says, "What do you think's more likely for Kenny Pickett with the Browns this season? Starts week one, or he's cut/traded before week one?" About 300 votes in, 64% saying cut slash traded. What brought that up was Mary Kay, when she was on with the Morning Boys earlier today, basically declared one direction is a lot more likely than the other.
I would absolutely say closer to being the week one starter. Lately, I've been saying for the past month and a half or so that I think it's going to be one of those veteran quarterbacks. I think it'll be Kenny, or I think it will be Joe. And I've also written that I think all four of them will make the roster. And not only do I think all four of them will make the roster, but I think it's conceivable that they will remain on the roster for a good bit of time, maybe through the trade deadline and maybe beyond the trade deadline, because they're really not sure yet which of those veterans are going to work out the best for them. And the other two quarterbacks are largely developmental.
I would go the opposite. I think it's much more likely Kenny Pickett gets cut or traded by week one. But I think what's fascinating is that you can defend either side and you might end up being right. Like, there's a really healthy chance that Kenny Pickett start week one, and you can make a full-throated argument today, June 26th at 5:30 in the afternoon and be right. And the same can be said of his ass might not even be in town heading into September.
Yeah, I mean, there's just as much of a possibility of either happening. And I just think it's wild, the people that think that they know one direction or another. Because all the Browns have insinuated to us, like, if you think you are close to the Browns and having an idea what they think about Kenny Pickett, unless you're Andrew Berry or Kenny Pickett, I don't think you really know what's going on. I just, at this point, and by the way, maybe that implies that they don't exactly know what's going on, which I kind of prefer. I don't want them to be steadfast in the belief that they have to make Kenny Pickett be great, because right now on June 26th, they think that Kenny Pickett has the lead. Like, there has to be some flexibility here, and the idea that they would go a different direction if, in fact, better options presented itself.
If you say, which is something similar to what you said earlier today, which is, I don't know who's going to start week one, but I don't think it's Kenny Pickett because I've watched him play football and I don't think he's good enough to be a week one starter in the NFL.
Right.
That's not the same thing as saying, I know they want him to start, so he's going to start. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important distinction, because I think if you read through the details, like, even players in the Browns locker room, like Deontay Johnson on the, what was it, Suits and Sport podcast the other day, saying, yeah, I think we're rolling with Kenny. He didn't know.
He's got no idea. How would he know?
And also, he's not going to say the alternative, because he and Kenny Pickett might be boys from back in the day in Pittsburgh.
And I'm open to the idea, by the way, that Stefanski and whoever else is going to make that decision is giving hints off to all sorts of different people of different, we'll tell Deontay Johnson we like Kenny Pickett a ton. I'm open to that idea. Maybe that is a real possibility. It doesn't mean anything right now.
And there's another part of this that, The more that they're just outwardly pushing Kenny as a week one starter, and again,
the more we think it's just about trades.
But informed by my thinking that dude can't play football as a starter in the NFL, he shouldn't be starting. And if he does, you're either putting on something, meaning trying to lose, or you're trying to do something that can't be done, which is look what I did with Kenny Pickett. But more than likely, it's probably just you're trying to drive up the trade value. 216-474-0092. What do you think is more likely for Kenny Pickett with the Browns this season? Starts week one, or he's cut by week one? Now, Karen, got to be careful with Karen's here. In Avon Lake has commentary on our periods in text conversation. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi.
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 Hi. Now, you were saying about the periods meaning. Tell me what you were saying about the periods meaning.
JP, can you tell us about periods?
It didn't leave that much of an imprint on you, did it? Okay, so the periods.
No, because it's not right.
Why did you call in then? Boom. Why did you call in if it didn't leave an imprint?
I think she's saying. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm saying, and Karen, I have no idea how old you are or anything like that, but I'm saying the younger generation. People 30 and younger, and I'm 30. I'm 36, so I'm a little bit older. But the younger generation looks at the periods as if you've just accosted them, essentially. It is a no-go in the text world for periods. Now, it's different. Again, different age groups. It's different realities there. I don't know how old you are, though, Karen. You tell me.
Well, okay. That shows the immaturity, because periods is... I won the press spelling bee. Okay, and the period, thank you. The periods, you're dating something.
See? Okay? I know, but a text message is not, if you want to press spelling bee, a text message is not a, it's not a literary.
Why are you arguing with her? She won a spelling bee.
That all has to do with English and grammar. And
I know, but grammar goes out the window with text messages. The same grammar rules that apply when you're writing for the New York Times does not apply. It does not apply for text messages.
Can I give you my opinion?
Of course.
If I know you went on vacation, I said, hey, what are you doing today? And you said, I'm on vacation. Exclamation point. That's like, really? Don't you know where I'm at?
Yep, exactly.
I mean, the exclamation point,
that's the middle
finger. You can take that.
That's not my world. In my world, I use exclamation points all the time.
Maybe your world's not the right world.
It's to convey, I am too young.
You're too young.
You're right about that, Karen. You're right about that.
You just gave him the best compliment he could ever want, Karen.
I can't argue that with you.
Can I say, though, that I love Joe Flacco?
I believe it. I believe it.
Well, that's because you're too young.
Now, let me ask you.
Nick tells me all the time,
when you say,
I'm too young for Joe Flacco.
When you say you love Joe Flacco, is that with an exclamation point or is that with a period at the end?
That's with an exclamation point.
Look at that. Karen.
What I'm saying. You could take the exclamation point either way, but the period just means the end of the statement.
Karen, we appreciate you. Thank you so much, Karen.
She cracked herself up there.
You were about
I like
to
that
go,
she applauded herself, too.
Well, no, I applauded. I think she
I
just,
know, but then you know. She got on that. She was like, yes, that's right.
She's
that's
just
right.
a supportive person.
I know.
Man,
I know.
You realized how... I got there was a pivot within that
call. You backed away from the mic.
Yes, I did. Mm. Yeah, I'm not going to say...
Band of Brothers.
Okay.
It's can watch it sometime.
It's pure... No.
Real brothers in arms moment there.
No.
As you let me be the one to explain.
No, because she's not Germany in this scenario. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We're all on the same team. America.
What team is that?
The American team. Thank you very much.
Yeah, as I have to explain how text messages are not the New York Times.
She won a spelling bee and you didn't.
Yes, that's very factual according to her.
All right, you're not Johnny Spelling Bee. All right, and I think we got to address that on air.
Yeah,
did anyone else enjoy that as much as I enjoyed it?
It's the only way to get to the bottom of it, though. It's the only way. I mean,
you started with the age, which is the worst one you can go to.
It's what I had to. The whole difference, because you're in that group too that doesn't understand periods at the end of sentences. There is an age gap here, and I'm sorry, you're too old to understand how periods are now being conveyed.
There's
in text
3 years
messages.
Difference between you and me,
and apparently something happened in those 3 years.
Yeah, bad grammar on your end.
I'm just telling you how it is in society right now. You throw a period at the end. End of a sentence in a text message, people think you're big mad.
I did forget at the Olympics, you were one of the freestyle dancers. You're so young that you're able to be in there with the hip young kids with the backwards ball caps and whatnot.
Yeah, well, you're the one wearing the backwards ball cap right now.
Because I'm still a hip young kid, too.
That's your attempt at being a hip young kid. It's like when I wear Jordans. What are we trying to prove here?
Get off my lawn.
You know what? We're just going to shake like gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
Because no, anywhere we go
from
here.
No, I'm backing away
from the mic,
what I'm doing.
I can get personal. No, we shake hands like gentlemen, and we get back to Kenny Pickett. Yes? 1, 2, 3, huzzah. What's your favorite Christopher Walken movie? I do think it's funny, just to get back to this, that it's entirely possible to go back to the... Rosenthal audio yesterday, where he said the Browns want Kenny Pickett to win the job. And that's true. And I also think they're shopping him.
Yes.
What other team can you actually say that in the NFL?
But I don't think the Browns want him to win the job. And I'm basing that based off of my knowledge of Kenny Pickett. And that's what I have to keep going back to, is that I have to trust what I believe about this situation to be true. And that is... Ultimately, they'll find out, and they already know who Kenny Pickett is, but there's no part of them that wants Kenny Pickett to just straight up win the job. The only way that could be reality is if Kevin Stefanski thinks that that's his Sam Darnold and that's his golden ticket to being perceived as an awesome head coach in the NFL because he took a quarterback that was perceived to be nothing and turned him into something. But you're going to have a lot of Greg Rosenthals and a lot of NFL media types tell you what they think they believe the Browns are thinking, and I don't think much of it is baked in reality right now.
A lot of thinking there. Michael,
a lot of thinking.
Of the younger millennial demographic here, saying, I'm 33, and I've never heard of this period statement JP is making.
Wow. Some people are an older 33 than others, I guess.
Some are saying you're now
maybe
too
he needs
old.
Maybe he needs to text a little bit more, too. Maybe that's what that is. I'm not sure.
Well, you think a younger or millennial doesn't text more than you?
Maybe. Am I in the wrong texting groups, then? Like, in my texting groups, if you send a period at the end of it, you owe me business.
Maybe you just have a bunch of sensitive bees you're in a text thread with.
That's a possibility as well, Nick.
Yeah, we got to get that you to a better class of people.
They're good classes of people, but they might be sensitive
bees. It doesn't sound like they're good classes of people.
I think they're good class of people.
Wow. You have a problem with periods at the end of the sentence. Maybe you're part of the problem.
You created a problem for me with periods at the end of the sentence.
I think you offered up the opinion. Well, I don't think I created it.
You definitely created it. If anything, we were just confirming the fact that Ken tweets in a very proper way or texts in a very proper way, in my opinion.
Couple young millennials, me and Ken.
No period at the end of it there. No period at the end of it there. Like, Ken's texts make a lot of sense. A lot of sense.
For your sensitive friend group. What is more likely for Kenny Pickett? He starts week one or he's out of a job in Cleveland. And more on the Browns quarterback kerfuffle in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I think as a Browns fan, you might be... Listen, they made a move you don't want them to make. You didn't want them to make. In hindsight, certainly, you didn't want them to make. But you can't say that they ain't trying to win. And you can't say that they are conspiring with all these other teams to fix prices or anything like that. They were going for the gusto when they did it. We'll talk to Mary Kay Cabot coming up at 8:22 this morning about that. Yesterday, we had Mike Florio. Speaking of that investigation, Mike Florio was on the show. He was with Pablo Torre. And this is, Mike likes to have fun. If it were Pony, I'd cuss him out. Pony's a co-worker. He's another radio guy. Florio likes to have fun, but I think if I started cussing out Florio, who the hell knows what would happen?
A lawsuit on your hands.
I might. Yeah. I'm not going to cuss out Florio. You get what I'm saying. He's a litigious man. But I've disagreed with Florio on the air before. I mean, the day after Miles had the incident with Mason Rudolph, that was a pretty tight interview right there. Contentious, if you will, with Mike and I. But Mike came on, and he brought up this little bit of information when I asked him about Kenny Pickett, because he has thrown out there the idea that Kenny Pickett, who they just traded for, could be on his way out before the end of training camp.
You got four guys. How are you going to properly get four guys ready for the season? And you got two of them that are rookies. They need their reps. So between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, one of them needs to go before training camp opens. Now, that's how a normally functioning football team would operate. With the Browns, you can never account for that because it's like they try to come up with new ways to be dysfunctional. And the dysfunctional thing to do is take all four guys to camp. I saw Mary Kay Cabot's report from a week or so ago that the Browns may keep all four into the regular season and beyond the trade deadline. And that to me was, somebody's trying to get the folks out there who might be thinking about trying to trade for Pickett to realize you're not going to get him for peanuts. We're not going to cut him if we can't trade him. We'll take him to camp. We'll take him into the regular season. We'll take him past the trade deadline, unless they're going to do the dysfunctional thing and take four guys to camp. And then how are you going to get four guys ready for week one? And before you got to cut, you can't burn four roster spots on a 53-man roster on quarterbacks. You need those spots for other players.
One, oh, yes, you can.
Yeah,
and yes, they may. The second thing is, I can't say he's totally crazy, and the reason is that Andrew Berry is always going to try to get something out of something. It's his job. He's a general manager. I think everybody should try to get something out of something. You're going to say something over here. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jason.
No, I've got a couple different trains of thoughts. Number one, why can't you carry four on the 53? This team isn't going anywhere.
Totally agree.
So what's one extra roster spot?
Don't know.
It's one extra linebacker you're not carrying, or one, I don't know. I think you can nip and tuck the roster somewhere. I don't know where the
only thing is they might find, they have been a team that's been devoid of draft picks for a while. Yeah. And if they do find some kid in the, who they figure is a diamond in the rough somewhere at another position, and they're going, man, this kid, I don't know if we can stash him. Like one of those things,
right?
Maybe. But again, as I say it, I know that that's probably a long shot with you. Yeah.
Here's the thing that I don't understand. And cause I've said before, I think Kenny's the week one starter. For all the people who assume it's Joe, why did they wait till April 11th, a month into free agency, to sign him if he was their starting quarterback? Why wouldn't you have signed him on day one? Why was the first move they made to acquire Kenny Pickett? Why did they wait a month into free agency to sign Flacco if Flacco is who they want to be the starting quarterback on this team?
I just trust Joe Moore. That's all. I
don't disagree with that, but I'm talking from the Browns' perspective.
Yeah, but when it comes to our arguments, you can't conflate it. Now, I know you're not doing it with me, but I got to ask you, have you heard so many people say they want Joe Flacco to you think that they are going to, that these people are saying they are going to start Joe Flacco? Because I want Joe Flacco to start the season.
Yeah.
I don't really think I'm going to get my way.
Who do you think it's going
to
be?
I think it's probably going to be, I listen to the people who are actually close to it, and God bless the guys who are national, because we're about to play one, but there's a lot of national guys who say Joe Flacco, and I'm like, okay, that's great, but when you say Kenny Pickett and some of the other ones that are closer saying Kenny Pickett, I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to have to buckle up and get ready for the Kenny Pickett experience.
And maybe, because the way I said this before, when I saw him at OTAs, I was really impressed at how Joe could still throw it, because it's been a couple years since we've seen him, right? And he came out at OTAs, and I said, wow, Joe can he still spin it. Like, I thought he threw it the best of everybody that we saw. But I still have always felt like I just think Kenny Pickett is the day one starter. Now, if training camp comes around and Joe wows everyone and blows everybody away, of course he can overtake him. But I look at the timing of this and I look at how quickly the Browns moved to acquire Pickett. And I look how long it took them to bring in Flacco and combine it with a couple other things. And I think Kenny is the early leader on this. And a lot of people think I'm nuts.
So Pickett is clearly the guy who's the leader to be starting week one to you.
I wouldn't say clearly. Okay. It's just who I think.
So is he clearly because the question is he closer to being the week one starter or being traded? And I think you're saying he's way closer to being the week one starter.
I think he is, yeah. Or you could be Charlie Fry and you could start week one and get traded in week two.
Greg Rosenthal on NFL Network had this to say about the entire situation.
Ultimately, I think Deontay Johnson is right that the Browns want Kenny Pickett to win the job, but I think Joe Flacco will win the job, and my main reason is just watching how Kenny Pickett has handled his last two opportunities. The film does not lie, and you look at two organizations in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia who both need quarterbacks who essentially gave up on Kenny Pickett. So we know what Joe Flacco can do. He can play at a credible level. He went 4-1 with the Browns before. So if we're going to spend this whole offseason saying Howie Roseman is the best general manager in the game, and they could certainly use a good backup at a low price, and he basically decided to give Kenny Pickett away because Tanner McKee is a better quarterback than him, then ultimately I think Joe Flacco is going to be a better quarterback than him, and Shedeur Sanders will wind up being a backup or a third string quarterback.
And there's people out there in that audio courtesy of NFL Network. There's people out there, Jason, who said, like, oh, Kenny, you hate Kenny Pickett. I'm like, I don't hate Kenny Pickett at all. But I shudder at the thought of Kenny Pickett starting, because I know that these guys, these veterans in this locker room, they may come to respect Kenny Pickett. I don't think that they disrespect Kenny Pickett, but I know they respect Joe.
Yes.
And I know they believe that Joe, yeah, I know he has his peccadilloes for throwing his interceptions and things like that, but I know they respect Joe and they think that he can conduct the offense. And I think if you start the season, which it's going to be a tough start to the season. It's a tough schedule. It's the NFL. But if you start the season with somebody else, I think you put all these guys in a position where they just start to question you. Like, which lily pad now are we going to go if you don't take the guy that we all trust gives us the best chance to win?
I don't see, and I hear you. And the locker room conversation is really interesting to me because, so who are you referring to? Like, name names. Who are the players?
I'm not going to name names.
Why?
Because I'm not going to name names.
All right, I'll name them. Leaders of the team. You're talking about Miles. You're talking about Joel Bitonio.
I'm going to sit here stone-faced and do that because
Are you talking about Quinshon Judkins? Are you talking about the rookies? Are you talking about the veterans?
This isn't the Nixon tapes. You're not going to get that out of me.
You do it to me all the time.
This isn't Watergate.
Why can't I turn around and do it to you?
I'm not a reporter. I'm not a Big J journalist. You are.
All right, couple things.
Put a thumb up or thumb down.
We're still on tape, and Joey does everything he can to make me look bad.
It'll be fine.
Let's talk about the veterans. So let's talk about Miles and Joel, okay? Joel knew what he was signing up for when he came back here. This is probably his last year in the NFL.
I got to be careful. I'm looking into the camera, too. I'm stone-faced.
He knew what he was walking into when he chose to come back for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I want Joel to go out with as good a feeling as he can have with the Browns. But the Browns have to worry about the bigger picture here. With Miles, Miles got plenty of money for pain and suffering. Like Miles, I don't feel sorry for Miles anymore. He took the money. So enjoy the money because you're not going to win. And he knows that. So you can't feel sorry for him. So who else are we really talking about here?
I'm not telling you.
I don't see what playing a 40-year-old quarterback, what is the upside of that? You're going to win an extra game or two?
In the big scheme of things, no. But I think
that's
what
the organization has to worry about.
But the veterans, then why sign the guy in the first place? Because the veterans in there are going to go, okay, you guys say it's not worth it, but it's my ass on the line every Sunday.
Yeah.
So I could go out there and I could play a nice long career still. I could have another 3-4 years, or this could be my last snap. And if I don't trust the guy going out there, I'm already going to feel even worse about it. And you know what? Damn it, your fans are going to feel like it's been more of the same. That's why I'm preaching about experience. It's like, guys, you think like the season goes like that. And so many times it does. It's 17 games in 18 weeks. It is a six-week marathon to get ready for this season. I know you got to get ready for it. But this is why it's like, if you're trying to do anything, anything at all, which is just win some games, prove that you know how to coach the football team, and prove that you can motivate some people as being the coach of the football team, you go with the guy who has the experience that they did go on a run with in 2023 that most of the guys that are still on that football team actually remember. That's where you start the year. You don't start off with Kenny Pickett or one of the rookies.
I feel compassion for the players because I remember in the locker room in Washington last year, I went to that game. I booked a late flight and thought, like, I'm going to go just in case, like, it all falls apart. And sure enough, that's where it all fell apart. Washington is where the season ended, as far as I'm concerned. And I remember walking out of that stadium thinking, the Brown season just ended before the Guardian season did. And talking to some people in the locker room who felt like, man, it's October. We've got like 12 games to go. Where do we go from here? Like, how do we get through this? And so I understand that, and I have empathy for that. But as an organization, you have to look at the greater good of how do we get better for the long term? How do we fix this organization? How do we pull us up out of this disaster that we are in following the Deshaun Watson thing? And I don't know how playing a 40-year-old quarterback solves any of that.
I respect that. I also remember now that I was watching that game and I started getting loaded and I was on the phone with Tone. And I remember Frankie LeVue kicking our ass. And I think he had a sack because I was on the phone with Tone and Tone was before me. He goes, guess what you're about to see? And all of a sudden I went, Frankie LeVue, how do you do?
That game was something, man.
Gerald Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, will be joining us as the Ohio governing bodies have said, yep, $600 million. There you go, toward the stadium in Brook Park. And changing the Modell law. There's a little shot to the city of Cleveland officials.
That's fascinating. I got questions on that one.
It kind of is. Daryl will have the answers coming up in just a little bit. That voice you heard was Dan Menigan. He's in for Andy today. I'm Jeff Phelps. Move by the Browns today. They brought back kicker Andre Schmidt. And if you remember Andre, he was with the team for just a touch last year. And, you know, they took a look at him. And then he was here in the offseason, and then they let him go. Well, now they're bringing him back for training camp. And to make room, they are getting rid of Obo Okoronkwo, which is an interesting move. Obo had some money due coming up, you know, roster bonus and stuff later on. And so maybe if they weren't going to pick it up at the end of August, at the end of camp, they're giving him an opportunity to go find another job. And that's a good way to do it, Dan. That's fair.
You owe that to him. Yeah. I mean, that's good for relations. It's good for everything to give him a little bit of time to find another job. You can always, a productive pass rusher can always find a role in this league.
Absolutely. However, you just said something that's, I think, kind of important. Productive pass rusher. Are you giving up on a guy you shouldn't be giving up on because, you know, it just kind of fits better? Or do you think you're in decent enough shape and you have other guys who can actually help you? Because I think Obo's a pretty good football player.
He makes you better. I mean, that's kind of where I would limit it. He makes you better. I wonder if some of it was opportunity. You know, the fact that they brought him in and then all of a sudden got this deal for Za'Darius Smith, who's a better pass rusher than he was. And, you know, Z came in here and was really good. And then it seemed like he was always the third pass rusher. You know, it always seemed like he had his snaps kind of cut in half a little bit or kind of hurt because of other guys they wanted to get in there.
Well, without Obo, your backups at defensive end, or your options for the starter on the other side are Isaiah McGuire, who they like and drafted in the fourth round in 2023.
Looked good at the end of last year. Had some moments.
Alex Wright, who you might say, well, he's been around and blah, blah, blah. They drafted Alex as a really young kid.
He was like 20 or something like that, wasn't
he? He was young.
Yeah.
And he was showing some things last year, and then he got injured. He was a third-round pick in 2022. And then you went out in free agency and signed Joe Tryon-Shoyanka. So between those three guys, you're going to have a backup for Miles, and you're going to have two guys on the other side. One of these guys will end up starting. They'll all end up playing. It's a Jim Schwartz defense. Mm-hmm. You play many defensive linemen.
It's the hockey line change.
Yep. And so they're all going to get their chances. And they obviously must like these guys, or they're not going to make that move.
That'd be my guess. But, boy, anytime you start seeing veteran pass rushers go out the door.
I know. It's scary, isn't it?
It's one of those you're like, okay.
But Alex Wright's still only 24 years old.
But again,
he turns 25 in September.
It's that grand conversation that we're trying to have, which is, what is this team doing and what are the goals for the 2025-26 season? And a move like this continues to scream that that goal is to cycle through the guys that you have, figure out who can sink and who can swim, and start building around the guys who can swim.
Kind of does, doesn't it?
It's what it looks like. When you're moving on from veteran pass rushers like that, that's what that screams. It screams that we think our defense last year got a little old and a little slow, and we need to get faster and we need to get younger. And to do that without having first round picks for 3 years straight, 4 years straight, this is kind of the stuff that you got to do is, okay, we got to move on from this veteran and we got to see if these kids that we've invested in and tried to develop and all those things can be a part of the future of this ball club.
I understand. We all know it's a business and all that. I just think Obo is a guy who's going to help some team this year. And I don't mind carrying depth at a position like defensive end, defensive line, you know, because you move guys around there. But we'll see. Obviously, Tryon-Shoyanka is a key part of this, former first-round pick of the Bucks, and they signed him as a free agent. He's critical here. But, you know, if Myles Garrett goes down right now, just think about that. If Myles misses time, you don't look that deep at defensive end.
No, you don't. And you weren't to begin with because you only had four of them to start off with. But let me, if you walk out of this season and let's say Alex Wright and Isaiah McGuire are really nice pieces.
Both pop. Yeah.
Look like good pass rushers who can help you.
And they're young guys.
One of them, and I don't, whichever one you want it to be. One of them looks like the kind of guy that could start on the other side of Myles Garrett for the next 2 to 3 years and really make an impact. Would you declare it a success?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you be less heartbroken about moving on from Obo Okoronkwo?
I'm not heartbroken about Obo. I just think he's a good football player.
Okay.
And good teams. Point.
Would you be less concerned? Is that a better way to put it?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely. You know, I like Alex Wright. I think Alex was really coming on when he got hurt last year. And we'll see. But you can only say we'll see for so long with some of these young guys.
It's kind of the story of this season, though. This season might be called we'll see. I mean, you're doing it with the quarterback position. We'll see if the quarterback is on the roster for the future. We'll see if the running backs that you brought in here are able to replace the production that you've seen in the past. We'll see if Diontae Johnson maybe can get back to the level that he was in Pittsburgh and just sees last year as a true hiccup and has found whatever piece he's needed with football. We'll see if Jerry Jeudy can do it for year two. We'll see if the offensive line can hold up. It's kind of the story of this whole season.
There's a lot of we'll sees, huh?
It's going to be we'll see. And I think that might be their general philosophy for 2025. It's going to be we'll see. Let's get answers.
Well, and maybe your owner sets the tone for that when he says, hey, we took a big swing and a miss. Jim is in Strongsville. Hello, Jim.
What's up, Jim?
Guys, I know this might be foreign to us, but listen, this Obo move, this is what good teams do. They move off of aging, high-priced guys, and they fill them in with their draft picks. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work. I mean, I get it.
You're absolutely right about that, Jim. And they'll save some money. According to Mary Kay, they'll save $3.36 million with this. And have some dead cap, but they save some money, which, of course, you can use for other guys.
Yeah, I mean, aging defensive, offensive linemen, this is what their role in life is at this point. I did want to say one other thing, guys. I know you were talking earlier about, like, you think that the NFL, that the crapshoot that everything is. Listen, I'm not Mr. Statistical guy, so I'm not even going to pretend to understand. But I bet if you looked at this statistically based on the number of roster spots and everything else, I'll bet you the failure rate in the first round is pretty similar for all three leagues. I just think we're more familiar with the guys coming out of college into the NFL. But, I mean, go look at any first round of any draft, and at least half, if not three quarters of those guys, while it might not be outright failures, were certainly didn't live up to the expectations that people had on them. So I just think it's more of a thing that we know more of the players coming into the NFL draft than we do in the NBA draft or obviously the Major League Baseball draft. But they miss all the time, Jeff, and it's not just the Browns. I mean, the Patriots miss, the Steelers miss. There's a lot of everybody misses on first round picks. It just happens.
That is true, Jim. I would bet the failure rate is highest in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, you do some of the background on those MLB drafts, and you're like, what are you people looking at?
Followed by the NBA and then the NFL, probably the weekend. Least.
Take it easy.
All right, Jim.
You as well. Enjoy the weekend.
Appreciate that. There's Jim. Mike is in Stowe, home of the Bulldogs. Mike, you're becoming a regular. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I kind of always have, but when I'm driving to work, I can listen and call more. It's just the way it works out.
Awesome.
So, yeah, no, I love listening to you guys. You guys, it's a great show. So, this is part of, as I talked before, I won't use that T word, but, you know, this is part of what we're doing. This is evaluation and development year, and it's about becoming cap friendly and cap responsible, I should say. You know, we got irresponsible the last couple of years. We kind of were going for it. We got long in the tooth, as we say, a little expensive. You know, this is about getting back in line and getting reloading. And also, we got to find out whether some of these guys have got it this year. A couple of them are coming up on contract renewals. You know, we got to know. What are we going to do? It's just similar to the Guardians, you know, who they need to call up. We need to know. This is more of a development season. I don't want to break, you know, I've said this before. Anybody who's planning on trying to win a lot of games this year, just pick a new team for this year. But this is part of it. Getting younger, letting the younger guys play, and cap responsible. You know, Barry's got to make up for his past. I will say this, though. Caller before talking about, you know, everybody's about the same. But no, the Browns are not the same. We've missed on more picks. Andrew Barry has got a less than an average record when it comes to draft picks. But I will say this, and I'll say it as I said before, I think he's moving in the right direction. His draft picks are less risk in the character department. I think that's where he was making his mistakes before. That's all I got, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, Mike.
It was definitely an organizational philosophy to give second chances for a little bit. It definitely felt that way.
Hard to argue with that.
I mean, we Lord knows the amount that we can point to with that exact thing. But yeah, it seems... And I don't know if they've completely cleared it. I don't know if they still see it, and cleared is the wrong way to put it, but I don't know if they still see it as a hindrance or anything else to go make a move for someone who has had questions in their past. I mean, they still took Mike Hall all of 2 years ago, and he had some questions.
Very true. Still does. Now mainly injury. And we'll see if Mike, you know, and Mike Hall might be a guy, Dan. You know, Mike's not, you know, a 325 behemoth at defensive tackle. Maybe you slide him out a little bit. Maybe he could play a little defensive end for you, too.
Yeah. Why not see it? I mean, you need to figure out who the keepers are and who the people you need to start building around for the next iteration of the great Browns defensive juggernaut. I mean, that's what it was for about 2 years. It was a juggernaut. And now it has become far less of one, and you need to figure out what the next iteration is going to look like in it. Do you see it that way?
Well, I do. I, without completely saying this is a rebuilding year, it's a tryout year.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying out quarterbacks. Let's be honest mm-hmm. about that. You're having an open competition. That means tryout. That means you don't have anybody. And that means you're trying guys out. Look at the defensive end spots. You have one. You have one
yep.
who you're absolutely sold on.
100%.
And running back, you've got three guys. Four guys. You include Pierre Strong. And my guess is that obviously Quinshon Judkins is going to get most of the work, and I would think that he's your guy. But there's opportunity there, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you actually have guys who can answer that call. And yeah, I'm going to be able to do this, and I'm going to be able to help the team.
Correct. It's going to be a year of maybe transition. I don't know how do we want to like fluff this? How do we want to make this seem better than it is? I'm not calling it a rebuild because I don't think it's a rebuild because I don't think they're tearing it down to the studs or anything else like that. I think retool is the right word. And I think you're seeing it on the defensive end, and I think you're going to see it on the offensive end too. They're going to retool this thing after the mishaps that took place the previous couple years.
Daryl Ryder is going to join us next. His thoughts on the release of Obo Okoronkwo today and the big news out of Columbus, the $600 million heading to Cuyahoga County to put a dome stadium in Brook Park. Daryl's next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Should be noted, Sportico is reporting that Cavs owner Dan Gilbert is looking to sell a stake in his NBA franchise, retaining Allen and Company to explore selling up to 15% of the team. This stuff's always interesting to me, like the idea that Dan bought the Cavs for $375 million back in 2005. And if he sold the last valuation by Forbes for the Cavs was just under $4 billion, meaning if he just sold 10%, he's going to clear the original $375 million investment. If he sells for 15, he's going to do a little bit better than even that.
This is why I always tell people never to feel bad for billionaires and for owners of sports teams when they're crying poor in certain aspects of their financials.
So this could be a couple things. At one, it could just be wants to get that $400 million. That could be part of this. Two, it could be to help offset the cost of paying for the WNBA franchise, which Cleveland has been approved for. And three, Danny is 63, and he has had some health problems. I think the intention is to keep the club within the family if anything were to happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one way of taking care of this would be he would be able to maybe offset some of the estate tax with the Cavaliers, which could help the family down the line. So maybe some just forward planning. In the article, in fairness, it didn't say why he's looking to sell up to 15%.
Did it give a hint as to who the 15% is going to go to, or is that the type of thing we don't know yet?
I don't think it's been decided yet, because it said that 15% could be divvied up by multiple people. So,
which we've seen a lot within a lot of the new more people that are entering the owner space is actually these little groups that collectively come in, and then like it's like LeBron and the group with Boston, for instance, like that's a whole group of people.
I just think it'd be interesting. So here's something that I don't know and that I haven't really necessarily reached out to find out about. I do wonder, 15% is not insignificant. It's also not 40%, right? So I do wonder, Dan loves to invest in his ball club. I do wonder if naturally this would end up maybe changing that, because he's been one of the few NBA owners that's been willing to go into the tax the way he has. I wonder if having partners now might change that.
Or he could just be like, oh, the partners don't want to pay the $80 million for Ty Jerome. Let's put this on them now.
Oh, I don't think Dan would do that.
I don't think so either.
Seems like a pretty straight ahead guy.
I don't think so either.
As billionaires go, I should add that.
This doesn't feel to me like when Cuban got rid of his share of the, or part of his share of the Mavericks. And then they're like, oh, but you'll still have controlling interest and all this other stuff. And then it turns out he had none of that.
Still the wildest thing about that is, when the Lakers were bought and Jeannie Buss retained her position as governor, it was put in a contract. What's wild is that Mark Cuban didn't have that put into a contract.
Yeah, but I think so. I've heard some people around LA that are suggesting and have suggested since that LA thing that Jeannie Buss is she's going to have the title of that, but she's going to have about as much say as Mark Cuban ended up having when it was all said and done. It's going to be more of a figurehead thing than it's going to be an actual, hey, let's make basketball decisions thing.
We like Jeannie Buss, so that's okay. So again, quick hits coming up in about 15 minutes. That's the latest news and sports here, but we're successfully bring to air, I think for the first time,
Frank Schwab on Yahoo Sports. I'm going to continue to go unflattering comparison for Shedeur Sanders.
Suggest that Shedeur Sanders isn't going to be the locked-in starter by week one and probably for the next decade. A lot of these Shedeur backers just lose their minds. Like, how dare you? A very weird phenomenon. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't ready for it. It reminds me in some ways, a completely different example, but in some ways very similar, of Tim Tebow, where people just lose their minds about Tim Tebow. There's no rational conversation about Tim Tebow. And it's the same way with Shedeur. Like, there's posts that go up on social media of him throwing a pass that literally any NFL quarterback can throw. And the caption will just be like, how could the NFL possibly have let this guy slip to the fifth round? He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, what are we doing here? But yes, Shedeur is an oddball case of a fifth round pick who is the most talked about rookie in the NFL right now.
All right, what do you think of that comparison?
It definitely is an oddball case. There's no denying that. I think the Tebow thing is a little much. I see the correlation that he's trying to make. Tebow, by the way, for as much as people want to say about Tebow as a pro quarterback, Tebow was one of the, if not the best college quarterback I ever watched play from a success standpoint and from a an accomplishment standpoint. I mean, there's not more of a decorated college quarterback that you'll find than Tim Tebow. And he came in with a lot of praise and a lot of fanfare, and he couldn't back it up. And
ironically, he should have been a fifth round pick too.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. In many ways, like, he didn't have it. He didn't have the arm. He didn't have the talent in the slightest bit. Like, there was a lot attached to Tim Tebow, but the hype was real and the hype was there. I think the difference here, at least in my opinion, is that for as many Tebow lovers as there weren't people lining up to watch Tim Tebow just fall on his face. I think people got annoyed with the Tebow conversation the way people get annoyed with the Shedeur conversation in many ways. But Shedeur and that speeding ticket last week taught me that there are just as many detractors, if not more, and people lined up to go ahead and laugh at him if he fails, than people that are lined up to say, congratulations, good job.
I will say, I do think there were plenty of people that wanted Tim Tebow to fail because they didn't buy into the holier than thou bit.
Well, once he started playing like baseball in the minor leagues and stuff like that, I mean, it's no one took him serious as an NFL player.
I mean, the Broncos did. They drafted him with the 25th pick.
I mean, but it really never looked like, oh, he's our franchise quarterback. He's the guy that we're going to put everything around.
The first year?
He got to a playoff game. Yes, he did. But it was late in the season that he got put in. It wasn't as if he started the season and got the whole runway to go ahead and do that with.
I think where it's different is that Tim had a lot of the noise and a lot of the how dare you came from the Christian community, who might have been coming to football or more of a casual fan that was just a fan of Tim Tebow. And so I think, whereas with Shedeur, what's wild about Shedeur is there isn't really that religious backing. It's just a bunch of people on social media who follow him on social media. I mean, is it wrong to say he's the first influencer quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, I think that's wrong. That suggests that he doesn't influencer quarterback. All right, give me your description of influencer quarterback.
I mean, it's somebody who is popular in a huge part because of their social media footprint, which...
See, but he's different, though. And so, like, Tebow came from a background that didn't involve football in the slightest bit. Like, the part of Shedeur that's different is that part of why people love Shedeur, some people love Shedeur, is because they love Deion. And they loved everything that Deion was doing at Colorado. And the hype was attached to Deion at Colorado. And the Shedeur hype, followed the Deion hype. Whereas with Tebow, I mean, that's him. It's been playing for Urban Meyer, yes, but that wasn't because Tebow's dad was anything of consequence.
Well, but how much of Shedeur's, how much of the unheralded fact that Shedeur is a fifth round pick and maybe the most talked about player in this draft? I mean, even on draft night, what was the big gripe of, like, hey, can you shut the hell up about Shedeur and talk about Cam Ward for a second? How much of that is the fact that he is an influencer? And I don't mean it in a negative way, by the way. I'm not trying to infer a negative connotation, but I think that's where...
I think both worlds were ready to collide, and only one part of that is doing the heavy lifting right now, and that is the fact that he does have a large presence. Like, Paul Skeens has a very large Instagram presence, a lot to do with the fact that he is dating Livy Dunn, but he's got a large influencer following, and it's like, well, okay, but he's also a great baseball player. The two of those things met in the middle. If Paul Skeens sucked at baseball, he's still dating Livy Dunn, he'd have a lot of attention on himself.
Well, but I do think this is where, to me, it becomes really super interesting, because the first influencer turned pro athlete where there was just a lot of hype, not just because of the athleticism, was Zion. I remember that kind of slow build. Obviously, I was in the Carolinas at the time. He was down in Spartanburg. And you could not. I mean, the hype was just wafting up.
People thought he was going to be the next LeBron MJ of that caliber.
Yeah, and then you found a buffet. But like, but I remember being like, oh, I wonder when this sport will get one. It's wild to me that you can't look at, if we talk about the most important position, yes, they're like there are NFL quarterbacks with huge digital footprints. That's because it started with football. I mean, it started with NFL football. Maybe Johnny Manziel 5 years later would have been the first guy. He wasn't. It was still very much an underground thing because we didn't have TikTok. We had, I don't want to say early Twitter, but that was really when Twitter started to spike and Facebook was still prominent. But I just think, like, of the social media era, Shador is the most fully formed digital influencer that also had success in college, as opposed to NFL quarterback that is an elite quarterback that also had social media influencing experience. I mean, that's fascinating. It's not a pro or a knock on the kid. I just think it's that this, because he's not going to be the last. No, is maybe the bigger point.
None of these other, look at the Instagram follower accounts of all of these draft players for this last year. I mean, I looked at it previously. I might be off by a couple here and there, but Shador was like 2.6 million top ahead. And I think the next closest was like 250,000. Mm-hmm. Like he had 10 times as many followers. And that's just, I mean, part of that is the idea that he did play quarterback. But the other part of that is, yeah, he built up a big brand and he knew what he was doing. But it wouldn't have mattered. Like Shador wouldn't be as popular as he is unless he played quarterback at Colorado and he had the dad that he has.
Yeah, but I mean, it's he didn't play at Alabama.
If he tried to do it on his own, is what I'm suggesting. Like when you say quarterback influencer, I think somebody that if he never played quarterback, he would be as much of a Instagram follow as he currently is, or anywhere in the same stratosphere. And I don't think that's true.
Okay, but the influencer thing still is first, right?
No, quarterback thing is first. Why we know him is because of quarterback. We don't know him because of Instagram. We know him because of quarterback. So like when you say Instagram quarterback and you make that suggestion, I think you're implying that like we know him because of his TikToks and his dances and everything like that. No, we know him because he played quarterback for his dad, a Hall of Famer at Colorado, and is a really successful college quarterback.
I just think it's really interesting that people are, you know, they're, to credit what you said at the beginning of this, there are people that want to watch him fail because they don't want a quarterback influencer or influencer quarterback to succeed. And what they're missing is Shador should be, if I am Arch Manning or if I am Drew Aller or if I am any of these dudes, I'm paying attention to this and saying, yes, absolutely. If I go into the NFL and I succeed, I can make $400, $600, $1 billion. But I might be leaving money on the table. And so it's interesting that I think people want Shador to fail in part because of the social influencer stuff. And I think the cat's out of the bag. I think a lot of these young kids are going to make so much more money. Like, dude, Vanessa watches this one YouTube influencer who's like, she's like home renovator and gardening. And she's just walking around a flea market talking.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is this?
I watch all sorts of golf influencers. They do the same thing. Well, they don't even golf half the time. They're just talking. They're just hanging out.
There's nothing meaningful about it. It's just existing.
That's how people watch and take in a lot of content these days.
And so for me, it's like, okay, do something. Like, make me a bicycle clown. But I think, like, it's so funny. Like, there's part of what Frank said that I understand and maybe concur with. But I think it's interesting that idea of people wanting them to fail, because it's like, you don't understand. It's open. Now the influencer things come into the NFL, and you're going to see, and not just NFL, I mean college too, and you're going to see the translation of that across the board. It was just a matter of time. It just happened to be Shador.
Well, and it's a golden parachute if it all doesn't work out too. You know, I mean, think about it. You know, back in the day, it used to be if you're Brady Quinn and it didn't work out, then you ended up on a college football TV set. And that if you didn't do that, then you were out of luck. You're selling insurance. But like you had to have enough popularity to be able to land on that. And there's only a few select of those jobs. You build up your brand, you build up everything in college, and it can take you for a long time here.
Are Shador and Tim Tebow comparable the way Frank Schwab says that they are? And a move of significance from the Cleveland Browns today, what it says about the Browns, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.